All right, let's jump in it. Middle of the week, Wednesday. Dr. Henry Nyman is back, one of the world's foremost virologists, and we've been tracking this from the scientific perspective for a long time. And I want to start out with a few quick headlines here, then we'll jump right over to Henry. And these are just what's in the news. Okay. Doctors probably can't save you if you have a heart attack while infected with coronavirus. Now, that's an interesting story. It's a Yahoo story. Pence stopped the CDC from extending the cruise ship ban into 2021. So they're trying to open that back up as well. Okay. Mild to severe. The immune system holds clues to viral reaction in the body. COVID-19 vaccine protocols reveal that trials are designed to often succeed. Now, they didn't say whether it was phase one, two, or three here. I haven't read that one. There was another one here. This is interesting. Regeneron's antibody cocktail for coronavirus. Early data shows promising results. Regeneron, I haven't heard of this one before. It's a cocktail, antiviral drugs. Interesting. Okay. Oh, there's a bunch more. You can go ahead and take a look at them when you get a chance in headlines. All right, Henry, it's middle of the week. Welcome back. The numbers keep rising on schedule, as you have forecast, and Donald Trump still hasn't been infected. We don't know what happened to Mike Pence's press secretary. I guess she's okay. We know what happened to Herman Cain. He's not doing so well. So welcome back. What's going on? Are you there?
Yeah, sorry. You hear me now?
Yeah. Now we got you.
Okay.
Yeah. You're
okay,
taking a shower, were you?
Just...
Uh-huh.
No, I accidentally hit the mute button, so I was talking to myself. So, the numbers are continuing to increase. Today, they dropped down over the weekend, and then they typically climb each day of the week. So they usually get to their peak on Friday. Yesterday, they were little over almost 40,000. Today, they're up to 42.6, but it doesn't include Missouri. For some reason, hasn't reported their numbers yet, and California hasn't fully updated. So it'll probably get closer to 44,000-45,000 today, and the deaths today, they're getting close to back to 1,000. They were 892 yesterday. They're 934 today, but again, California will probably contribute a little bit more, and Missouri might also. So it's kind of relentless. Having problems here in Pittsburgh, Allegheny
right
County,
there in little
which is
old Pittsburgh problems.
Yeah, problems. Allegheny County is where metropolitan Pittsburgh is. The city is the entire city's in Allegheny County, and many of the suburbs are. And yesterday there were over 200 new cases, which is a lot for a single county. Today it wasn't quite as bad. It went up a little bit more, but a lot of those cases were beat into Fox Chapel School District. So it's a little bit concerning. Yeah, it's a small number in each one, but there's several. I mean, they divide the county up into pretty small bits and pieces. Like I say, there's five different pieces that the feed into one school district. And yesterday, O'Hara Township had a couple. Box Chapel had one. There were a few more nearby. They're not in order for that. And then today, the same thing happened. So I think they, in the last 2 days, I think there's something like 8 cases in the school district, which is a pretty big number. Usually they'll only go up one here and one there. They won't go up. One of the other ones went up, I think it was Indiana Township, went up, I think, three yesterday. And no, they actually went up three today. And there's one other one that I think went up three yesterday. So it's actually more than that. It's probably over 10 cases in the last 2 days here. So it's starting to creep up. One indicator is actually New York. You had mentioned earlier that, well, it depends how much they test. And, you know, if you don't test, cases actually do go down, reported cases. But I had said that one way to adjust for that and make comparisons is to see what percentage of the cases actually are positive. And the CDC wants to see states get that number down below 5%. And New York had got it down to 1%. So New York does a lot of testing, and in spite of that, prior to the end of last week, they had not reported 1,000 cases. They were generally in the 500 to 800 range. And then they broke 1,000 last week, and then they broke, well, actually they hit 1,000. They actually did exactly 1,000 today, new cases. But, the key stat out of New York isn't, you know, whether it's 700, 800, 900, or 1,000, is the percent positive. The percent positive is now up to 3.5%. So it went from under 1% to 3.5%. So it's starting to approach the 5% that CDC likes to see the number under. And if it goes above 5%, I don't know, they're just now getting the schools partially open for in-class. And if it goes above 5%, which the rate is going up, could happen next week. There may be some reversal of you know, they might go online. And then in the sports area, the Tennessee Titans in football have a problem. They had, I believe it was, 3 players and 5 staff were positive. So the team they played last week, I think it was Minnesota, is on hold, and Tennessee's on hold, and Tennessee's supposed to play Pittsburgh on Sunday, and they're not playing Pittsburgh on Sunday, and they're checking them out. And
how do they get recertified to go ahead and continue or resume playing? What do they have to do?
Well, I think they have to take the positives out of the lineup. You know, they're quarantined. So the positives have to go into quarantine. And then they've got, you know, testing. So they do rapid testing. So they, you know, basically test everybody and get the results, you know, within minutes. And I think everybody has to test negative. You know, if they're positive, they get pulled out. And with the Steeler game, they're only talking about a 1 or 2 day delay. And I think that's on the assumption that they're going to test everybody and everybody's going to test negative. And they probably, you know, have to be negative within some few days, I guess.
I don't know what the protocol is. I just asked.
Yeah, well, based upon what they said, where they're going to, they're not going to play on Sunday. They might play on Monday or Tuesday. Uh-huh. I would take that to mean that they're going to test everybody in the next couple of days.
Do you know?
And if they're all negative, then they'll go forward. But it's the time gap between when everybody's negative and going forward has to be less than between today and Sunday, because they wouldn't cancel Sunday's game unless if they had already met the criteria to go ahead and play. Yeah. So
do you know anything about this? When they get a positive back, let's say it's one of the more well-known players, do they double test and triple test to see if they can get that positive reversed? Do you know? Are they trying to do that? Because there are some false positives out there and false negatives too, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's a lot easier to get a false negative than a false positive. I mean, the way the test works, and this seems to get lost in some of these articles, is they have multiple probes, and the probes are specific for areas. I mean, that's one of the strong points about a PCR test. A PCR test, you can pick and choose and make the primers to any area you want, and that they basically take the virus that they're targeting and they compare it to other known sequences, and they pick a region that is unique, and so the likelihood of the primer binding to another closely related virus is very low. And then they don't just do one area. They go and they pick two or three areas where they run a PCR test, and then a positive is basically positive on like two or three regions. So it's hard to come up with a positive and not really be testing the virus, you know, regardless of those nonsense articles to say you have to isolate the virus and you got to do this and you got to do that, da, 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 da. I mean, you could get a false positive in the sense that you're picking up leftover virus.
Yeah,
and
particles,
that the sequences
so
you're picking up are not infectious. They're just RNA that's been still hanging around, but it's not in an infectious particle. It's just pieces of virus that are there, and they'll register. So that type of a false positive is possible, but generally, they wouldn't be applying to these football teams because they're tested regularly, so they wouldn't really have a leftover virus. They've already tested negative multiple times. So if they're positive, they're really not picking up debris, dead virus. And they're not picking up a cold virus, which is the other nonsense that gets put out of the, and I don't even know if I put them in the media category. The propaganda category is probably more accurate, that these articles that come out are just, have no real scientific basis. They're just wild speculation that have no basis in fact, but they, get clicks and any of that. The bottom line is, it's very hard to get a false positive, especially in people that have been tested regularly. And it's easier to get a false negative because you can clear the virus. So that, if you have the virus in the, your upper respiratory tract where the test is usually, that's where the sample comes from. So if you've cleared it from your upper respiratory tract, but you got it in your lungs, then you can get a negative because the virus isn't in your nose anymore, but it's in your lungs. And so if you cough, then, you can infect people even though it's not in your nose. And that's why you would test negative, but it would be a false negative. So a false positive is, unlikely. And the teams don't really care if it's a well-known player or not. The teams, they have a little bit of knowledge on infectious disease. They know that if there's somebody on the team or on the staff that's infected with the virus, even if it's, the guy that hands out water bottles, that person can infect the whole team. So, sure. You know, it's kind of like they want to know if he's positive, whether he's really positive, because they're going to push the testing to make sure that the virus that he had, well, first they'd want to make sure that it really is the virus, and which I said is it's highly likely. And then if it is, they really want to test everybody as soon as possible to make sure the virus doesn't spread. If they wait, then, you know, that water boy can infect anybody on the team, and anybody on the team can infect anybody else on the team. And yeah. Then all of a sudden you've got this, you know, multiple players, which is what sounds like happened to Tennessee. I don't know if these five staff members and three players were doing, you know, and it's very possible that they were, they all had contact with each other, and one person got infected and he infected seven others, and all of a sudden they got eight positives. So it is a concern, and that's the reason they postponed the Steeler game on Sunday, is that they have to be sure that everybody's negative within X amount of time of game day, and they probably can't be sure of that because they hadn't tested everybody, you know, recently, which is probably talking about in days. So, you know, they might have tested them last week and they were negative, but they can't go forward until they all turn negative again, since they are basically, I mean, this is Tennessee. They've got eight positives on the team. So they're really not sure how many players actually infected other ones. And so this is Tennessee that's causing the problem. They have to make sure that it's just the eight they know about and not other ones, because if it's other ones, they'll schedule the game and people get infected at the game. You know, the Steelers will get infected by the Titans, essentially. So that's an example of how they're being careful, and in spite of being careful, they've got an outbreak on one team, and the season's young, and there's likely to be a seasonal impact of the virus, and so the fact that it's starting to go up in several areas of the U.S., and starting to go up in Europe, and it's going to get harder to figure out who's got what, because, you know, the flu season's going to start in a couple of weeks, and people are going to have the same symptoms, but they got the flu. And in spite of all of this, this is, well, here, let's shift gears to Wisconsin, okay? Wisconsin, the numbers have been going through the roof. And hold on, let me find Wisconsin here. And so today, Wisconsin had 2,319 cases. Yesterday, Wisconsin had 2,367 cases. The day before, it's getting into the weekend, it had 1,726. The day before that was 2,200. And then the day before that, they had 2,817. And I think that's probably on a Thursday or Friday. And it's likely that they'll get to that number this weekend. And the reason I brought up Wisconsin is an example of a state where the virus is going through the roof, and the numbers are very, very high. And guess how many rallies Trump's going to do this weekend?
I couldn't even imagine. I'm not following.
No, he's going to do two. And guess where they are?
Pittsburgh.
Wisconsin. One's in Green Bay, the other's in La Crosse. So he's going into the state that's got the highest level of a virus, and
he's gonna, fearless.
Yeah, probably fearless. Probably set his own record. Probably break the 2,800 by Friday. So he'll have over 3,000 cases a day. You know, Wisconsin's not that big. I mean, it's big, but it's not that doesn't have that many people. And I mean, I got Milwaukee and Madison. And, I mean, Madison's a college town, and so it's not really that big. If it is, it's because it's got all these students. But they've got 20. Last week they got up to 2,800 cases in one day, and like I say, I think they'll probably break that this week. And that's when Trump's coming to town with his few people that will wear masks because they're they're sitting close to Trump and they're behind him, so the TV cameras pick them up. And the rest will not be wearing masks because they just don't think they need to wear masks. And even when Trump had his debate yesterday, well, I don't know if you could call it a debate, when Trump went to Case Western, I yelled at my daughter. That's where she went to school. I said, look at that. Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, they hosted it. And Trump brought his family. And, of course, even though it said masks required, they chose not to wear masks. So they really don't care who they infect and who they put at risk. And that's their example. And then, if you saw the debate, like I say, you can't really call it a debate. Did you see, if you saw the performance yesterday? It was hard to watch. Most people watching it just wanted to be over so they could hear what other people said about it, because it's not going to be very informative.
Isn't that amazing when that's the most interesting part of a debate, the reaction of the people? That's pretty pathetic.
Well, this number one, I wouldn't call it a debate. And number two, I would say it's a performance without precedent.
Call it a debit.
I mean, the whole world was watching. And how do you think the United States looks when they call that a presidential debate?
Idiots.
Exactly.
With nukes.
Exactly. Total fools. Total fools. Totally out of control. Totally unreliable. And definitely going to get worse. And frankly, that may be the first and last presidential debate of this year, because there is no doubt
earlier.
There is no doubt that for them to have the second and the third debate, the moderators will definitely have a kill switch, and it is debatable.
I'll just shut their mics off.
It is debatable. Yeah. It is debatable whether Trump will agree to having a kill switch on his microphone. And if he isn't going to agree to that, it's not going to go forward. So there's a good chance that there will not be a second and third debate, because
Pelosi's already set the stage for that last week. She said, don't dignify him. We shouldn't debate him. So there may not be.
Well,
well,
I think yesterday showed he was right. After yesterday, there was a good reason, a good argument to be made that shouldn't have happened.
I think it's 50-50.
And the other argument to be made was that why would you do that again and again? Yeah, it's kind of crazy. People
It'd be the same thing three
over
times.
And over again.
You can't reform
a different outcome.
Not going to happen.
In any event, he did just a few comments on the the pandemic comments that were made yesterday, I mean, he did show that he brought his mask with him. He had it in his pocket. And I talked about the mask. He said, well, I bring it with, and I wear it where necessary, but I get tested all the time. And, but, you know, there's a debate on whether the masks really do any good. And there really isn't a debate as to whether the masks do any good. And he said, well, you know, Fauci originally said that the mask wasn't doing that much good. And the more complete story, which I think some of your listeners know, I kind of talked about this before, but it bears repeating because it was kind of repeated yesterday, is initially the CDC was downplaying the need for masks because if you're going to wear a mask, you should probably be wearing an N95 mask so that not only are you protecting people from you, you're protecting it from other people. And there weren't available N95 masks. So the CDC recommended everybody wear an N95 mask. There would be a rush on the mask. And then first responders and healthcare workers wouldn't be able to get them. Right. So the argument was that you shouldn't get an N95 mask because we don't have enough of them. And people that are being exposed to patients, which would have a high level of, I mean, the ones that were hospitalized would have a high level of virus. They'd have a high viral load. And that they would be more dangerous to be treating them without the mask. And if you recall, I got a phone call from an emergency room healthcare worker in Oregon, actually, right? And he said, they just said we don't need N95 masks. And I said, well, I don't know about that. That's usually what's recommended for a virus. You know, they're little bitty things, and they go through little bitty holes. And you really need an N95. He said, well, we were told that we didn't. And I said, well, I don't know. That sounds like maybe they don't have them. And that was the case. And so the argument was that, A, N95s weren't available. B, you could wear other masks that didn't protect as much. But C, the general public, if they had these other masks, they might assume that, you know, they protected a lot. And they were as good as the N95s, and therefore they could take more risks. And so the positives and negatives would kind of lean towards the negatives because people would take more risky behavior thinking that they got a mask and they can't get infected and they can do whatever they want. And that wasn't the case. And so they kind of recommended not wearing a mask for the general public so that there would be masks available for healthcare workers and first responders. And then more data came in and it indicated that the masks really were effective even if they only went in one direction and that they would cut down the spread of the virus. So even if you weren't that protected, others around you would be protected. And overall, it would be a lot easier to control the spread of the virus if everybody that was, you know, had contact with other people would wear a mask. And so then their recommendation changed to, you can use a scarf, you can use a variety of
those see-through covering. Plexiglass covers are they're just silly. They do nothing.
Yeah. Well, the bandanas probably don't do much either. These thin cloths really don't do too much. I mean, the masks are even the ones that aren't as good as N95, they're basically layered. They have three different layers. And so N95 means that they basically can block 95% of the particles, and the other ones, it's closer to like 70%. So 70% is still better than 0%. And similarly, they are better if you cough, because, a fair amount of the virus is still in larger droplets that the mask would hold the virus in and prevent it from, dispersing over a wide area. So they would be infective for the general population. So, Trump's up there saying, there's a debate on the mask. There really isn't a debate. You should wear the mask, and it's going to give some protection, and some protection is better than nothing. But you should be aware that if you don't have N95s, you don't have as good a protection as you can. So you wear the mask, but you still need to take precautions. You can't just assume that if you're wearing a mask that's not N95, that you can do whatever you want. So he kind of repeated the masks don't work nonsense. And then he also repeated, how great it was when he put the travel ban on China. And we've discussed this before, too.
This
and
is
again,
ancient,
it bears repeating.
Ancient news. Shame on him for even mentioning it. Come on, this is stupid. We've been through this with him for too long.
And he did the same thing. Well, it's all China's fault, and they could have stopped it if they wanted it. The way these pandemics work, it's kind of the virus starts spreading whether you know it's there or not. By the time you get it identified, it's kind of the horse is out of the barn, and closing the doors isn't going to get that horse back in. And that would happen with imports and with China, There were plenty of people that brought the virus here because they visited China. And then it was even more dramatic as far as Europe was concerned. And so everything got delayed. And so the China ban was late. And it started with Wuhan. And by then, the virus had spread in China. It was at other major metropolitan areas.
Henry, I got to change gears here a little bit, please. What do we do about helping people, our listeners, understand what to do as flu season gets here? The odds are getting sick, of getting sick are going to obviously grow. You've got two or three things now that can make you sick. You can get the flu, you can get a cold, you can get coronavirus. What are you recommending for people to do as common sense routine without becoming excessively paranoid? I don't like to see people living in fear. What can you do to offer people things that would give them confidence in this?
Well, I mean, the CDC's got their recommendations. They recommend wearing a mask. They recommend social distancing, and they recommend washing your hands. Those actually work on any virus. So, I mean, those apply to both the COVID as well as, that SARS-CoV-2 or influenza. And actually, there were reports out of the Southern Hemisphere indicating that the level of influenza infections were dramatically reduced because people were exercising these precautions, and precautions helped controlled the spread of influenza as well as the spread of COVID. Now, some of that, I've mentioned this before, but some of that is because when you mount a response against a given RNA virus like SARS-CoV-2, some of the cytokines that you generate aren't specific for just SARS. They'll work on influenza. So that if you're battling a SARS outbreak where you've been infected, a SARS infection, you'll make things like interferon and other cytokines that not only will combat the SARS-CoV-2, they'll also combat influenza. So influenza is essentially competing with SARS-CoV-2. And if you've got one, it'll make it harder for the other one to transmit. And so these viruses in general do have a susceptibility. They are influenced. Washington, the state university up there, that basically makes projections, and they're talking about 200,000 more deaths by the beginning of the year, but they're saying that half of those deaths can be avoided if people basically do wear masks and do follow these instructions. And so that is effective, and that's something that people can do. I mean, if you work at it, you can get N95 masks. And even if you don't get the N95K
mask, or something, right? N95K,
right,
or something.
Right,
right. Does that qualify?
There's a K. Well, it's not as good as the N95, but it's better than the other masks that are, that are 70%. I think the KN95 is, I don't know what the exact numbers are, but it's not really 95%. It's maybe, 85% or something. So it's better than some of the, carpenter's kind of mask or some of the,
right.
Some of the masks
I've seen enough
that people get or bandanas and things like that.
You can look in the side of them and see people's nose. They're wide open
right,
on the
right.
sides.
Right.
Very common.
So the KN95 is better than a lot of the masks, but it's not better. It's not better than N95.
For people who have N95s but not an unlimited supply of them, I've had a couple people tell me what they do is they'll put them in service for a day, then they'll rotate them out of service for 5 or 6 days and then use them again. Now, that seems fairly reasonable to me.
Yeah, well, I mean, one of the things that will kill the virus pretty effectively is sunlight. So, I mean, if they're getting exposed to sunlight, the light will pretty much mutate the RNA of the virus, and the virus will have too many mutations to survive, and it'll kill them off. And so that would be one way to do it. I mean, there's issues with trying to wash them or things like that. That the more you do that type of stuff to them, the less effective they are, and so they might start out at N95 every time you do something to mechanically.
Well, if you have an ozone generator, air purifier, you can put the mask in close proximity to that for a day, and that'll certainly kill most everything. Ozone is a very effective scrubber, an air scrubber.
Yeah, so I mean that's an alternative that you can try to reuse and, like you say, rotate them. And I don't know how easy or hard it is to get. I mean, we've got a bunch of them here and haven't really got them and used them and aren't trying to get new ones all the time. And so I don't know what the levels are, but they are available. They are around. And and so that's one way that you can deal with the fact that the flu's coming. I mean, the flu vaccine will help avoid getting the flu. Some people get a pneumonia vaccine too to avoid getting complications with bacteria that can basically cause pneumonia. And so that's another preventive type of a approach. The other thing is to not ignore symptoms, that try to get tested quickly, and the sooner what you do and don't have with respect to flu and COVID, I think a lot of the tests that are going out there now, you know, will test for both. And so you can take one test and find out whether you have flu or COVID. And if you've got symptoms, you probably don't want to, wait around and see if it's getting better before you get tested. The longer you wait for testing, the worse shape you're going to be when you get the results. And I don't know. I mean, you know, I mentioned I got tested on Sunday and I got results back within 2 days. And I have other family members that did the same thing. They got I got tested here in Pittsburgh. They got tested in Philadelphia. And everybody got their results within 2 days. Some got the results within 1 day. And so the weight in these two areas was not, you know, horrendous. But my guess is that's going to go down. You know, the ability to get the results back in a day or two is going to be harder once flu season gets going, because more people are going to will want to be tested. There is talk about having, you know, more of these rapid tests dispersed, and we'll see. I mean, these rapid tests are not as sensitive, but I think the tests were down to like $5 or something. So the idea is that you use it fairly liberally, and you get tested, fairly often, because it could be negative initially, but your viral load will go up, and so you might pick it up a day or two later than you would if you were doing a PCR test.
Are you taking any natural supplements that are certainly credited in some circles with diminishing the ability of viral replication, like vitamin D3, zinc, selenium, things like that? Do you take any of those?
Nah, I pretty much avoid. I do a lot of social distancing. I don't go to many stores. I get food, I just pick it up. It's the same thing with all the restaurants. All the restaurants out here are pretty much curbside stuff. There's not much indoors. So I kind of avoid exposures. And I do get tested fairly regularly. I think I've been tested
almost as much as Donald Trump, I hear.
Nah, it's not that bad. But I'm going to be going to Philadelphia this weekend. So I kind of do testing before I do that.
How far is Philly from you?
It's about 4 hours. It's not too bad. It's a straight shot on the turnpike. So it's
I see. They still talk about Mario Lanza in Philadelphia?
I don't know. I'm in the suburbs. I'm in the suburbs, and it's not. I don't know. I don't have that much contact either. I mean, I go on walks and stuff and say hi to people.
Boots on the ground. I get it.
I do have a boots on the ground update for the high school. And they played your favorite team this past weekend. They actually played Moon Township, played Fox Chapel. And I would assume Moon won. I mean, the Fox Chapel football competes with soccer. They're both fall sports. And the Fox Chapel has a pretty good boys' soccer.
They got Moon Mars, right? Moon plays Mars, right?
I'm trying to think if they're in the same. They divided up the football. So as far as football is concerned, they've got to divide it up into, there used to be only three divisions, and now it's up to five, and it's pretty much based upon school size. And Mars is on the smaller side, and Moon, I think, might be bigger. So I'm not sure that Moon plays Mars. I think Moon is...
Mars has been very bright in the evening sky lately. Boy, is it big.
Yeah. Well,
real close.
It may be big, but it's not that densely populated. So the school district is not that big. I know in soccer, Mars is always, you know, a level below Fox Chapel, and they've got football divided up more. So I don't know that if they play as exhibition, and they don't do exhibition anymore. So the updated information, I don't know who won. I don't know how big the crowd was, but I was there before the game. And in contrast to the opening game of the season, where there was a significant police presence, and there was a lot of activity, and like I said, they had all these stickers up. So they had stickers on the bleacher seats, and you kind of every third row, I think, had the stickers. I'm not sure which way it went, whether the stickers meant you were supposed to sit there or you were not supposed to sit there. I tend to think you're not. So basically, the seats were stickered so that, you know, it was only set up for 67% of capacity. And on the home side, I think it seats maybe 2,500. On the visitor side, is probably less than 1,000. And for the home opener, I got a quick count on the visitor side. The number of visitors was 0. And I got a good estimate on the home side. The home side had maybe 20. So 20 out of 2,000, you didn't really need to pay a whole lot of attention to the stickers. And I'm not sure they had a lot more for Moon than they had for the initial game. But the point
is... This is gripping radio for our listeners now. Keep that in mind.
Here's the point.
We got a punchline coming up. All right.
Prior to COVID, the football games were on Friday night, and they were kind of a big social event. So most of the people there had no idea what the score was, and they probably didn't want to know the score because Fox Cap would almost always lose. That didn't keep people from coming, so the place was packed.
No, it was an event.
And it wasn't
right.
It
Americana.
Was an event. So they've switched it now to Saturday morning, and it's not so
standing
much an
room
event.
Only.
And there's nobody there.
They're taking all the romance out of it.
I mean, like I said, there were 20 people on opening day, and 20 spectators, and I'm not sure that today was kind of or last weekend was the third week of the season. They kind of alternate whether they're home games or not, but the second
they
home
made
game,
it through three weeks. It's interesting.
They made it through three, and but nobody's showing up for the games, and so they're not really getting any revenue. Although they did have the ads up there, that was another change. Opening day, they didn't have any. I mean, they usually sell, you know, advertising space, and they didn't have any up for opening day. So I figured that, you know, they probably knew they weren't going to have very many people there. Anybody taken out of the ad was basically throwing away money because you weren't going to be, because there was nobody there to see them. And they did put the ads up for week three, and I don't think anybody saw them, but people are still taking out ads. And so it isn't what it used to be. A couple more breaking news. Rumor has it that because Trump kind of nixed the extending of the cruise ban, that Robert Redfield will be resigning tomorrow. I mentioned before that Deborah Birx is on the fence. He's getting ready to resign.
Oh, yeah.
Brad Pascal.
Pascal.
Parscale resigned today, so he's gone.
Brad Parscale was arrested and put in a hospital, threatening to harm himself two days ago.
Yeah, he wasn't just threatening to harm himself. He was threatening to harm his wife. I mean, he's another of these serial abusers that Trump seems to attract. And so it was more than just himself.
Well, that, musical chairs, round and around they go. More vacancies.
Well, I don't know. I'm not sure they're going around. I think they're just clearing the deck, so to speak. We'll see what happens in the next 30 days. But poll-wise, it's very, very unlikely that there's going to be any filling of any of these chairs. But in any event, we'll see. It's not very far away. It's a little over 30 days. So we'll have another update. The numbers will be higher on Friday, and we'll see whether Wisconsin can break their 2,800 just in time for the rallies in La Crosse and Green Bay. Right. Tickets still available.
Big weekend.
Don't miss it. You can get Trump and COVID for the price of one.
Very
okay.
good. Thank you.
Take care.
See
Talk
you,
to you later.
Next time. Okay. Be well.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Henry.
Bye-bye.
Okay, that's it for tonight, Wednesday. Tomorrow is Thursday, the first day of October. Ow. David Oates be with us tomorrow night. He said he's got a lot of reversals from the debate. That'll be fun. He said some of them are big, very interesting. So that's tomorrow night, among other things. See you then.